Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to MSNBC tonight. Well, our top story, we have Amala Epinobi on live on the ground in Ottawa, ground zero of the protest of the quote-unquote Freedom Trucker Convoy. Amala, tell us what's happening.
First and foremost, Taylor, what I want to say is I wouldn't call this a protest. I'd call this a riot. There's a lot of disarray here. I mean, a lot of damage is being done, psychological damages to the people here living in Canada with the constant beeping. Right now, if you look behind me, there is a man lighting a fire.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, of course that fire is in a barbecue grill, but we can't be too lenient on these things. We don't know what could happen.
That is arson. How does that compare to the fire that we saw spreading across cities in the U.S. with entire towns and buildings on fire all across the place?
I mean, you really can't compare these two things, Taylor. I must say, those protests, as we saw after George Floyd, we reported were mostly peaceful, and we reported correctly. Now, I'm watching here, they're defacing statues, putting a little cardboard sign on a statue that says freedom here. They're lighting up grills. I see pizza ovens. I'm seeing some Polish grandmas giving out sausages. Who knows if these are FDA approved? This is just completely ridiculous what they're doing here, and in all terms. This is a riot, Taylor.
What a horrific, horrific turn of events happening there in Ottawa. We will continue to follow this story very closely. And scene.
Guys, welcome to an Amala Live. Well, Will and Taylor, or Amala and Taylor.
I guess so. Should we start saying live from LA? It's Will and Amala Live.
Like, we really should. We should do fun. those SNL cold opens. That'd be fantastic. Guys, I hope you guys are having a fantastic Tuesday. I just got back to LA a couple hours ago. So I was in San Francisco doing an event, and then I flew back in this morning, but we're here. Gosh darn it. I'm not going to leave you guys hanging. We will always have a show for you. Let's get into some of the stories we're going to be talking about today. We have Disney Jr. doing a segment on microaggressions. We have a CNN doctor talking about the possibility of us getting rid of these mask mandates. Surprising from CNN. We have a blatantly racist new trailer from Showtime. We're also going to be talking about GoFundMe and their decision to stop allowing fundraising for the Ottawa Freedom Convoy that is happening right now with those truckers that we just did our reporting on. We're going to talk about a woman who chooses to identify as a wolf and her decision to go on Jesse Waters on Fox News. Plus, it's TikTok Tuesday, so we have some TikToks to react to with you guys today. First, let's start off with this Disney Jr. segment. I'm amazed by this video. I just saw it like an hour ago. This is from a series called Rise Up, Sing Out. And this piece of it in particular is to educate young children on microaggressions towards people of color. Oy vey, let's give it a watch. Here we go.
Bye, Mom. Hey, Gabrielle. I didn't know that was your mom. Your skin is so much darker than hers. Hold it. Did that comment make you feel uncomfortable? That's a microaggression.
What's a microaggression?
A microaggression is when someone says or does something that makes you feel bad. Sometimes just because of your race. But you know what? He's wrong. You should be proud of your skin. It's what makes you, you. I know just how you feel, mommy. Fat and blue. He said that awful thing and you don't know what to do.
Pause. Okay, they go through several different microaggressions here, so I need to break down each one of them and explain to people why it's not a microaggression. It amazes me that this is something that I have to do in my time on this earth, but here we go. The first quote-unquote microaggression was a kid saying, "I didn't know that was your mom. Your skin's so much darker than your mom's skin." A completely valid thing for a child to say because most children, when we walk around, probably look pretty similar to their parents. Their skin tone looks very similar to their parents. I had the experience of growing up as a child who didn't have the same skin tone as my mom. And kids would look at my white mother and then look at me and go, "I didn't know that was your mom. Your skin's so much darker than hers." There's no aggression in that statement. It's a simple observation. And if kids have seen nothing but parents who have the same skin tone as other children, when they see one who doesn't, they're gonna go, "Oh, wow, I didn't know you could have a mom with a different skin tone than you. That's cool." It's just an observation, not a microaggression. Let's move on to the next one.
That's not okay to say about your beautiful skin. To find your voice and your power within.
Pause again. She goes, "That's some beautiful skin." Did anybody tell him differently? Did anybody look at him and say, "That skin's not beautiful"? No. All the kid said was, "Your skin is darker." Ugh. Keep going. Oh, you see those little civil rights fists rise up out of the screen? Love that little bit of subliminal messaging for young children who watch Disney Junior. Just amazing. Now let's run through the second scenario. The second scenario, I'm assuming this is a white woman, walks up to a little brown child and goes, "Oh, I just have to touch your hair. It's so unusual." Okay, let's get one thing out of the way. Don't go touching people's hair for no reason. Ask them if you would like to touch their hair. Just ask. And again, this is an experience that happened to me so much throughout childhood, especially being raised in a particularly white region in Florida. A lot of kids would go, "Oh my gosh, your hair is so curly," or "You have braids. I've never seen hair like that before. Can I touch your hair?" And yes, you can touch my hair. It's okay. And some people might say, "Oh no, you know, I don't want you to touch my hair," which is totally fine. But it is not a microaggression or an unconscious bias or a subliminally racist phrase to go, "Hey, your hair is unusual. It's unlike the most of the hair that I've seen in my life. Can I touch it?" Gosh, ridiculous. Okay, I'm over. That's the last one. That's the last example. "Hey, Kingston, why do you speak like that? You don't sound like the other black kids that I know." Do we notice that all three examples of these microaggressions are simply people noticing things that fall outside what they normally see and then vocalizing that? And if there's a problem with vocalizing that, we are in a sick society. There is a problem brewing here if people take issue with that. If you hear black children, and I'm going to assume what the subtext of this is that this woman typically hears black children who speak in Ebonics, which is what some people might call ghetto or sort of a broken English. And when she hears this young kid who is speaking as speaking outside of Ebonics, she goes, "Well, you don't sound like most of the black kids that I hear." Again, a very simple observation of something that falls outside your pattern of normalcy, and you ask about it as a curious person would, and to call it racist is a shame. And it is simply an effort on the political left to label all people who are not people of color as racist, because now there's nothing you can say, there's nothing you can do. It is there, it's subconscious, it's a microaggression, if anything.
I just am beside myself with, I don't know, outrage and regret that I grew up without this type of cartoon to let me know that when I was living in Honduras as a missionary kid and all my teachers and classmates would say things like, "Oh, your eyes are so different," mm-hmm. "and your hair is blonde, I can't believe it." I didn't realize those were microaggressions, and I was such a victim.
Right.
And these people were racist, and I could have been a little activist raising my fist and telling them
that
this wasn't okay. And instead, I just let it all happen. I just thought it was innocent acknowledgement of differences that there aren't typical to that region. But,
right.
You know.
You should have pulled the race card on those little kids, Taylor.
I know. And now I've been victimized. I don't.
Right.
How do I? I demand. Do I need reparations now? Do I need to go back there and?
You do need reparations. You'll never get that chance to use that race card ever again.
No, ever not again. These days. But it's so true. It's just like it's simply an acknowledgement of it's an innocent thing that kids are doing in school. Like, "Oh, you come from a different background than my household. Let's learn about these differences with one another." You have to teach them that it's racist, and you have to teach them to racialize and think about these terms and like you're being oppressed or victimized somehow by doing that.
Yeah, and let's talk about the circular logic here, because we were told by the woke left, in the beginning, in the beginning, when we were truly trying to combat racism, we said, let's just not talk about race. Let's just go about our own business and let's be colorblind. Let's function with race neutrality, which is what we stand for today, what I stand for today. But now the political left goes, no. You have to focus on race. We have to have these conversations because the world is built through these racialized structures. We're stratified by race and the very foundation of our country. Therefore, we must talk about it. And then when a little kid walks up to you and goes, hey, I notice your skin's darker, or I notice your hair's curlier. Can I touch it? Or I notice you speak differently than other black people in this neighborhood. We don't want to talk about it. That's a microaggression. So really figure out what you want. Do you want to talk about race? Do you want to talk about the differences? Do you want to talk about the things that come along with that? Or do you not want to talk about it? Because I'm getting mixed messages here. It's giving me whiplash. Just amazing. So watch what your kids are watching on Disney, because they could be watching this. Again, this is a series called Rise Up, Sing Out, which sounds perfectly fine. Sounds like it could be a very neutral show, but this is the messaging that your children are getting when they watch Disney Junior. So I, for one, when I'm a parent, I'm going to be watching every single program that my kids have in front of them. And luckily, they won't have the need to do this. So many kids have technology right in front of their eyes that they're getting this indoctrination just hand over fist. I don't plan on that being the case for my children. But if they are watching programming, certainly not this.
You see a kid that's been watching this and their mom's like, okay, time for bed. Let's go brush your hair. Mom, you can't touch my hair. That's
right.
A microaggression.
Oh, little, my gosh.
That's literally like they are making every effort in the media that they can to raise your children to be little activists.
Yes.
And to indoctrinate them with this worldview. And you can't just take for granted that, oh, you know, there's kids shows that's safe, that's on the children's channel, they can watch it. It's not like that anymore, which is sad, because back in my day, I don't think that was nearly as much of a concern. But these days, you have to know what they're being taught in school. You have to look at what they're watching. It's a uphill battle for a parent.
Yeah, and let's talk about the exploitative nature of indoctrination when it comes to children and these Disney programs like this. Because what they do is they exploit a child's want to be good and to do good things. We reacted to a video of a kindergarten teacher talking about how young kids are just born and bred to be social justice warriors because they want so badly to be good and they want so badly to do the right thing. And if we can exploit that natural tendency in them, we can get them to promote our agenda. And that's disgusting, because that's what this is doing. They're teaching kids that curiosity is bullying and it's a microaggression and that it carries racism. And what a harmful thing to teach a child who will never want to ask another kid a question in their life because they're scared of being labeled this way. If I was a little white kid watching this, I would just be like, okay, I'm not going to ask the black kids any questions. I'm not going to go and talk to them, because what if it's a microaggression? And I don't know what a microaggression is. Disney gave me 3 stupid examples, but now I'm just not going to go do it. I'm not going to go talk to them because something bad might happen. That's exactly what they're teaching young children here. It's disgusting.
Yeah,
it really is.
That's not a good way to foster community, mutual understanding, learning about people who are different from you, and learning really how much you have in common with them.
Yep.
Instead, yeah, it's all racialized and you're going to be like more averse to interacting, and it's going to make any interactions that you do have weird, because it's all charged with this racist narrative that you're trying to avoid these imaginary landmines. So,
yep.
Tragic.
It is very, very tragic. Now, before we move on to our next story, which, oh, sneak peek there, where racism takes a new form, and it's a show on Showtime that is going to be released here shortly. I want to make sure you guys are watching on Will and Amala Live, not on PragerU, although we love PragerU and we work for PragerU. We're making our own channel for this show called Will and Amala Live. It's on YouTube now. Just type it in your search bar or go to the description down below. It is linked there, and give us a little follow. Plus, click that notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live. We'll be posting clips from the show just for you guys and exclusive content like YouTube Shorts and things like that. So go subscribe. That'll be your gift to me. Now let's get into this trailer from Showtime. You want to talk racism? I'm going to let this speak for itself. Here we go.
I think what annoys me most about white people is when they pretend like they're the victim.
Wow.
What's also annoying is when they kill us.
What is...
casual.
Just casual. What's really annoying about white people is when they act like the victim. You know what would happen if a white person sat up and said, you know what's really annoying about black people is when they act like victims. You know what else is really annoying about black people? When they kill other people. Imagine if somebody said that. Imagine if that was the way that this trailer started out. Fires would be burning just like the ones after the George Floyd, protests and riots. That's what would be happening right here, right now. But no, this is fully okay, and it gets funded by Showtime, and they produce this and put this out. Let's continue.
Fragile about whiteness when everything has been constructed around it.
Every part of who I am has been distorted or criminalized.
It's really just a bunch of white lies.
We're storming the Capitol!
You're not patriots. You're ridiculous.
One of the definitions of American whiteness is ignorance.
I'm speechless. I am so speechless that this can be put out onto the airwaves. One of the definitions of American whiteness is ignorance. Again, just imagine that being said about any other race. Imagine it for 2 seconds. Let's, goodness, keep going.
White people, we are not your problem. You are.
Should white people today feel any responsibility for slavery?
Hell yeah.
White Jesus or black Jesus?
Jesus was not.
Hell yeah. You know what other countries punish the people who live now for the crimes of their ancestors? North Korea and China. Hell yeah, though. Let's punish white people for a crime that they didn't commit, and that most people living in America right now, most white people, are not ancestors of slave owners. So, hell yeah, brother.
Think of geography.
Ain't no way Jesus walked around with blonde hair and blue eyes.
White culture fears the end of the world. For us as Native people, the end of the world already happened, like, multiple times.
Symbols and monuments, these are mementos of racism.
Bring that statue down.
Put up a TCBY yogurt or something everybody can get behind.
Pause again. There's so many things in here that are so fundamentally wrong. He just said that mementos and memories and symbols from history all emit racism. And think about, again, what the subtext of that statement is. The subtext of that statement is that we need to go and erase the history, which is why they've gone through and they've taken statues out of city councils. New York City is a great example of this. Why we had our statues brought down by the Black Lives Matter protesters during the George Floyd riots. Why they're constantly trying to erase certain parts of our history, yet accusing us of doing that. And this is exactly the reasoning behind it. And it's an argument that I've made so often on this show, but I will make it again. If there is a side, of politics here, trying to label America as fundamentally and systematically racist, the only thing that you can do to solve that is to tear down its institutions and structures, which is why so often the people who have that rhetoric about systemic racism and racism being baked into our founding share the rhetoric of abolition and destruction and complete and utter transformation of our country, because those two things go hand in hand. If our country is truly founded in a racism that is unavoidable and baked into everything and everything that we are a part of, then the only option is to tear down every single system, institution, and piece of legislation, because there would be no way to avoid racism in that case. And that's why they try to convince you of that. And it's an argument that you should never, ever be convinced by.
The truth has to be told about history.
We have to make sure that these stories are told from our perspective.
There's always hope. You know what I'm saying? We don't give up.
It's about obliterating systemic and institutionalized racism.
This is a wild place, y'all. It's a wild place. I know Harriet and Frederick be up there just like, what is they gonna do?
I think Harriet and Frederick are up there going, what is wrong with you? That's what I think they're asking right now. And again, that guy just said exactly what I just communicated to you guys, but in different words. They want to obliterate systemic and institutionalized racism. How do you obliterate something that is baked into a country? How do you obliterate something that you claim white people are born with? Can anybody explain that to me? And any simple thinking will get you to how they would achieve that. And telling things from a POC point of view. What exactly is a POC point of view? For those of you who don't know, POC means person of color. But what exactly is a POC point of view? Because I don't share this point of view at all. So clearly there's some deviation based on skin color here. And here is the title here. Everything's gonna be all white. It feels satirical, but it's not. This is real deal, holy feel life. Somebody put this out and approved it.
the title is kind of, it goes against everything else that they're saying and throughout the video. Their goal is to abolish whiteness. So everything's going to be all non-white is really what they're after.
Yep. I just have no words. I really have no words. You know who would really endorse this and talk about, you know, whiteness being placed above all else and how it's so foundational to our country that white people are supreme and how, you know, perfection and objectivity are white values. You know who else would say that? The KKK would say that. That's exactly who would endorse a message like this. And to hear it written and spoken and promoted by a side that claims to be progressive is just so beyond me. It's so beyond me. So we will watch out for this Showtime show that apparently comes out February 11th. And maybe we'll watch it live and react to it with you guys.
That'd be fun.
Would it be fun?
I don't know. But questionable. I think you nailed it when you're talking about like these ideas, and really this show itself is just a part of this larger movement of this woke left or hyper progressive wing today that is dominating the airwaves, that they're not trying to reform things. They're not trying to go back to our roots, the good roots in any way. They don't acknowledge that there's anything good to go back to. All they see ahead of them is this utopia in which their ideology controls everything, and they've beaten every other perspective and all of our history and all the ideas and values that the country was built on until they've beaten all that out of the picture and into submission. And all that's left is allies and the people who are running the show and who call the shots.
Yeah, and let's be clear, they have no plan for after all that happens. Their only direct plan is to destroy what we have currently and abolish what we have currently. And then after that, it's butterflies and rainbows and we take care of each other and equity and social work. There is no plan. There really isn't. A great interview that you can go and watch that really just encapsulates all of this is Nicole Hannah Jones. She recently did an interview with Democracy Now! Where she talks about a new... Nicole Hannah Jones. Patrice Cullors, the founder of Black Lives Matter, where she's putting out a new book. Because remember, she had to take time off after the riots and after all this Black Lives Matter fundraising and things. She had to take time off to heal. Those are her words. She had to heal.
And look at a lot of houses.
And look at more real estate, yeah. Look at more mansions to buy with her millions and millions of dollars. But guess what? I guess Patrice Cullors is done healing because she's putting out a book on how to be an abolitionist. And when pressed on what life looks like after abolition, no answers. It looks like care. It looks like equity. It looks like togetherness and unity. Okay, Patrice. Okay. As soon as you have a detailed list of what actually happens after that, maybe we'll consider your argument. But so far, there is none. Now, let's move on to some COVID-related news. You know, we always have to have the COVID-related news because it's simply nonstop. Here is CNN talking about mask mandates in the future. Should they exist now? Should we start sort of backing out of these mask mandates and allow people to make choices? Oh, my gosh. Who would have ever thought of such a heinous idea? Here we go.
You say we can start removing at least some coronavirus restrictions now. Tell us why.
Well, I agree with Colorado, with many other local and state jurisdictions that are beginning to lift government mandates. And I think this is the key. I'm not saying that we should be stopping masking, but rather that this needs to shift from a government requirement to an individual decision. The government can't keep on telling our citizens that this is a five-alarm fire all the time. People are just going to start tuning it out and not pay attention. They'll be desensitized. And so what needs to happen is we need to end the state of emergency and preserve the ability of public health authorities to reinstitute mandates in the future if we see more dangerous variants later.
Yeah, start, you say.
No, we need to get rid of the mandates now so that people feel like we're not exercising too much control so that we can exercise that control later. It's really a strategic move on her part. Quite a smart move to, you know, not be too heavy on the things that you're trying to make people complacent with so that you can still use that power later. Because I have a feeling in a few years from now, if we try to do this again with maybe another virus or another variant, because there's always going to be another variant, I have a feeling it's going to be a boy who cried wolf situation where the government screams at everybody to put their masks on and everybody goes, you know what? You did that 2 years ago. And then you told me it was going to be for 2 weeks or a few months, and then it ended up being 2 years. So now I'm not going to listen. So really, this is a sort of art of war act on her part to say, no, let's let up the mask mandates for now so that later we can bring them back onto the people.
Yeah, I love how proudly she introduces the idea of individual choice. Yeah. As though it's like this awesome discovery that breaking on CNN, we've discovered that you may not need to impose all kinds of crazy restrictions on an entire country. We can have some things be left up to individual choice and allow people to assess risks for themselves.
Imagine
what
that.
A novel concept.
Right, right. It's the confidence for me, as I always say. It is the confidence for me that a news network that has been touting the false COVID narrative for 2 years now is suddenly, with really great timing for what is happening politically in this country and what we'll all be involved in as far as voting goes. But yeah, it's really good timing now that all these blue states and districts are going, you know what? Maybe we'll give people a little bit of freedom back just in time to reinstate our power.
They just have so many other wins over the past year or so to run on, you know, in these upcoming elections.
Yes.
It's sorry. But but no, it was crazy on social media yesterday. It was like a flip was switched and like this state lifted their mandates and this politician and has done things. And mm-hmm. The powers that be looked at the polling data and they see how unpopular these policies are and they see how much people just want their freedom back. And all of a sudden they're seeing like, that this is threatening their power, so they're yep. willing to relax a little bit.
Yeah, and you'll see it on every front. It's not just going to be the COVID stuff. I have a feeling critical race theory is going to play a big role in these upcoming runs and what people are looking at and what people are going to be placing their votes based on. And you'll see them flip flop on things that they would have said a year ago that they won't say now, and it'll be the same thing with COVID. It's just amazing. Now, speaking of COVID. We opened today talking about MSNBC and their coverage of the Freedom Convoy. Here's an article talking about that. This is Daily Caller. MSNBC staffers hyperventilate about Canadian insurrection armed with Plinko tables, pizza ovens, and hot tubs. And you can look up these videos of the MSNBC reporters talking about this. But NBC host Katie Turr and parliamentary reporter Annie Bergeron appeared to be concerned that Canadian truckers had gone as far as to set up pizza ovens and hot tubs as they protest in Ottawa over coronavirus restrictions. We have heard it called a nationwide insurrection, Turr said, noting Ottawa officials have warned about the siege and insurrection. It sounds like you're talking about closed streets in the center of town there. It sounds like it's causing quite a bit of havoc, not just in the city, but across the country. How dare they? How dare they block the roads in protest of their government trying to force them to get medical treatment? And how dare they do so with hot tubs and pizza ovens?
You know, this is the same type of people who stood in front of burning buildings and said this was fiery but mostly peaceful.
Yep.
And yet they're standing in front of a pizza oven now and they're saying this is an insurrection.
And all of this happening within the span of a year and a half, just side by side. How can you as a reporter for MSNBC or CNN or ABC or any of these big networks feel any bit of integrity in the work that you do when you can put stories like this side by side of their reporting with mostly peaceful protests with George Floyd riots to an insurrection here with the Ottawa truckers who are simply sitting in their trucks and blocking the road? How can you hold those two thoughts in your brain and then get on live TV and talk about them? I don't understand. And it just shows, again, how little integrity we have in our media today. We saw the newspapers out in Europe and in the Netherlands come out and apologize and say, you know what? We were wrong in our reporting here. We were wrong for what we said to you about COVID-19. We were wrong in how we reported the deaths and the science and the data analytics around it. And we apologize because we are meant to be a journalistic outlet. And we dropped that moniker for the time that we reported that to you. And you will never see that here in America. You will see the exact opposite. They are slaves to propaganda. They are slaves to narrative. And they will say whatever it takes to make sure, A, that they don't lose their jobs, and B, that you are okay with your freedom and liberty being taken away, and you view those who aren't as evil Nazis and fascists. That's their goal.
It is. I saw a clip right before the show on social media of a Canadian official who has been criticized of wearing blackface in the past. I won't name any names. But
yeah.
Anyway, they caught him, and he was giving a little spiel about his response to the truckers, and he said that the mandates are your way to avoid further restrictions. He's like, I know we've been so frustrated with all these things, but the mandates are a way for you to not have to lose more. The freedom we're taking away now is so we don't have to take more of your freedom away later. Yeah. That's the logic that's running the show here.
That's all that it is. That's all. And at least he's honest about it, I guess. But that is what they want from you. So they want power in any way that they can get it. And if they have to lie to you, they'll lie to you. And there are so many players who get this virtue from hopping in and supporting the narrative that they do so hand over fist. They trip over themselves to do it. And one of those players is GoFundMe. Here's the next story. GoFundMe's attack on Canadian Freedom Convoy shows dangers of big tech. This is out of Fox Business. Essentially, this Freedom Convoy, the Canadian Freedom Convoy, had amassed around $10 million in GoFundMe fundraising. Now, GoFundMe has paused and froze those fundraisers, and now they're saying you have X amount of time to request your money back for refund, or they get to choose where your money goes. And we all know where GoFundMe is going to put that money. It's going to be leftist organizations, I'll say allegedly. It's just speculative. But that is exactly where the money's going to go to. It's going to go towards racial education and equity and anti-fascism. That's where they would put your money. So this is nothing new. We knew GoFundMe is a very much leftist foundationally when it comes to how they work and what they allow. We saw what they did with Kyle Rittenhouse. Kyle Rittenhouse defended himself in the streets of Kenosha. And then when people tried to fundraise for Kyle Rittenhouse, they had their fundraisers frozen. And they had to request the money back that they had given to this young man for his own legal defense, which he was acquitted. But GoFundMe had already chosen the narrative. He's a white supremacist. So are the Canadian truckers. They're both Nazis. They're bigots. They're xenophobics. Even though none of these things have anything to do with anything within that subject matter or that sphere of social issue. But GoFundMe gets to choose the narrative, and they get to choose whether or not you can give money to them. So they decided not. So this is $9 million that is sort of floating out into the ether. Hopefully everybody knows to go and request their refund. Or guess what? Somebody else gets it. Amazing.
It is. And they're doing it right in front of your face. And they get a free pass because they're on from the media. Like the mainstream media is not reporting on this with any sort of criticism whatsoever. It reminds me of what we saw with the whole Whoopi Goldberg situation. It's like if you're politically on one side, then you get a free pass from the media and there's no further investigation into what you're doing or into any hypocrisy that may be at play, which, by the way, the rationale that GoFundMe used to freeze the funds for that were donated for the Freedom Truckers was that they found evidence from law enforcement that the previously peaceful demonstration has become an occupation. And yet, here's a tweet from the GoFundMe account from 2020. In a community with no police, this farmer's feeding people and bringing them closer together. Learn how you can support Marcus's mission within the CHOP. The CHOP was the Capitol Hill occupied or organized protest from Seattle a couple years ago, an occupation of the Capitol Hill. So they're saying we froze the truckers' money because it's an occupation. But 2 years ago, they're tweeting in favor of promoting a fundraiser for an occupation on the other side. So double standard much?
There's so many examples of just double standards that you can place side by side right next to each other and still over the heads of others it goes. Over the heads of others it goes in one ear and out the other. It's just fantastic. And they talk about how, you know, at first the Freedom Convoy, maybe GoFundMe would have supported it, but it's gotten dangerous. It's gotten dangerous. There have been 3 arrests from the Freedom Convoy as of today. 3 arrests done. Yet GoFundMe hosted several fundraisers for Black Lives Matter who killed 24 people in the streets during the George Floyd riots. And I keep going back to this example because it is such a perfect example of if you support an agenda that is great for mainstream media and great for GoFundMe, you can do whatever you want. You can go in the street, you can burn down businesses, you can kill people, some of whom were black, in the streets, in the name of Black Lives Matter, and you can still fundraise. And the mainstream media will report on you favorably. And you can have people just, you know, shining your shoes and bowing down at your feet. But as soon as you go against it, you are a fascist. You can't raise money. The mainstream media attacks you. That's the country that we live in right now.
I think there have been more arrests now for people that have been bringing gas to the truckers. So those violent insurrectionists that are delivering gas to truckers. And also, I think the latest on the story, people are saying in the chat that GoFundMe has begun issuing the automatic refunds because of the legal pressure and the threat of litigation.
Well, good. They should. Oh, my gosh. They should be sued. Not good word. not a nice word. And they should be just refunding everybody's money. It's just ridiculous that you can take $10 million that is amassed for these people and then just do whatever you want with it. And it's the same for Kyle Rittenhouse, the same thing that he did for them. So simply ridiculous. And that's it for COVID news. Luckily. We made it through another day in the 2-year stint of COVID news. Now, let's move on to some fun stuff. We have TikTok Tuesday as well as Dear Brian that was trending on Twitter today. We want to get your guys' take on this as well as give you ours. I saw that Dear Brian was trending. I thought, okay, who's this Brian guy and what are people saying about him? Apparently, Brian Suave, Rico Suave here, tweeted out, "Dear ladies, there is no reason whatsoever for you to post pictures of yourself in low-cut shirts, bikinis, bra, and underwear, or anything similar. Ever. Not to show your weight loss journey, not to show your newborn baby, not to document your birth story. Your brothers."
Spicy take. I'm sure that's gonna make the feminists very happy.
It's made the feminists extremely upset, and they all came after Brian. Let's see. One's here saying, "Dear Brian, we don't care what you think, leave us alone." Signed, literally all women. So people have been coming at him. You can see the quote tweets are about nearly 7K now and only 1.6K likes. So my take on this is we do live in the free world. Yeah, women can post whatever they want. And if that happens to be pictures in low cut shirts, bikinis, bra and underwear or anything similar, Brian, so be it. Now, should women get upset when they get attention after posting these pictures and attention maybe that they did not quote unquote ask for or attention that they do not like? Maybe not. Different argument, different thing to discuss. But as far as being able to post that on social media, especially as it pertains to your newborn baby or your birth story, who cares? Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at this guy's profile, he is a pastor and obviously on the very conservative side of Christianity, and this is his take, and in the moral framework in which he's living, it's a valid take. And I think the interesting thing about this is what free speech looks like. A guy gets on Twitter, says, "Here's my opinion. Here's how I see things," and we have people responding to him, and it's creating conversations, and it's making people respond. Hopefully, thoughtfully and civilly, for the most part, not. It's stoking a lot of anger.
Mm-hmm.
But to be fair, I mean, his tone is pretty aggressive. It's very like fatherly and like, you know,
right,
talking down in a sense. But I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting conversation. It's interesting that people are, clapping back, and that it was such a provocative thing to say that it became a national trend.
Right. It's amazing to me that something like this, which is pretty commonplace thing to say, don't post pictures in low cut shirts or bikinis and blah, blah, blah. There's no reason for you to do that. Okay. That's a true statement. There literally is no reason for you to do that. But why is this so controversial? It's because I think people constantly want to find something that's offensive so they can jump down somebody's throat. And today, that's Brian Suave. It's not too suave today.
I put a poll on the Will and Amala channel, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Surprisingly, so far, I said, "Do you agree with Brian?" And 49% say no, 51% say yes.
Okay.
So we have a very conservative audience.
You are.
Apparently
pretty,
on the Will and Omar channel
50/50
today.
We're split.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can post what you want. Would I go and encourage a young woman in particular to go and post that sort of stuff? No. But if she wants to and she does it, that's your own business. That's your own choice. You will get the whatever repercussions come from that choice. And that's that. So shouts out to Brian.
You put out the bait, you're going to catch the fish.
Yeah.
But that whatever type of bait you put out is
that's
the type
true.
Of fish you're going to catch.
That is true. So don't come a-crying when you get the wrong sort of attention or, you know, guys who bother you all the time. Anyways, moving on. We're going to get into TikTok Tuesday. Our first TikTok is going to be about whether or not wanting to date trans people is transphobic, but I thought we should preface this with a clip from Fox News. This is from Waters World. They had a woman on his show that identifies as a wolf. I can't believe I'm saying these words. Here's
I've
the
never
clip.
Interviewed a wolf before. How do you identify?
I just want to say somebody commented and said Howard Stern is looking really weird here, and
oh,
I think
no.
that's.
Oh no.
Anyways, keep going.
As a wolf and become a wolf, what's the process?
So it's not really a process to become a wolf. It's more of a spiritual thing. Like I know I'm human. Like I go to work every day. I pay my taxes. You know what I mean? I do normal things. It's more of a spiritual identification. So I believe that I have the spirit of the wolf. I kind of identify as a wolf on a personal level, but you know, in my everyday life, I also know that I'm human. So it's a little bit. It's a little bit of a misconception how people see it, especially the audio you just played was from an interview I did way back when with I Wonder. And that one was, you know, if it showed the whole interview, I think that would be a pretty good description.
Okay. Do you often run around in the woods the way a wolf does?
You know, if I'm with a certain group of friends who are like-minded,
like a wolf
we
pack.
Will do that to... Yes, like a pack. we'll do that to get some sort of release, but it's not something I do, you know, on a day-to-day basis or anything.
I've never interviewed a wolf
okay.
before.
I like how she uncomfortably laughs because she knows it's uncomfortable. Like, she knows it's weird.
I mean, this person started this out by saying, look, I know I'm a human, so
right.
at least... We
right.
got a little bit of win for biology insane world
right.
there. So.
I just like to act like a wolf.
Yeah. I mean, this person went a little beyond that, though.
Yes.
Because it was like, I'm spiritually am and identify and all this stuff. And it's like, if you have the honesty to say, I am a human being of this sex and this is what I like to do with my time. Great, free country, do what you want to do. But if we're having to now, if I'm going to howl at you to say hello, I mean, that's a step too far.
Yeah, also, is this a trans woman? I'm so confused.
No, that's why I got confused there for a second. I don't know what this person wants to be called.
I don't know what is... Okay, it says woman spiritually identifies as a wolf. The woman sounds an awful lot like a man. So could be man... transitions to woman, now woman identifies as wolf.
That's what I'm saying. We got the human part down.
We got the human part down.
You know, not sure about the like spirit side or the gender side, but you know, at least we got one small, you know. So.
Oh, well, that's just fantastic. Well, let's move on. Now, if you watch something like this and you go, wouldn't want to date her. Apparently, you're transphobic. Here's
this
video.
Microaggression?
That's a microaggression. Also, no, it's just a flat out aggression.
Yeah, that's a violent attack.
It's a macroaggression. And you're a transphobe who should be fired. Here's the video.
So if the only reason you don't want to date someone boils down to the fact that they're trans, that's transphobia right there. Let's go over a couple of situations. So if you don't want to date a trans woman because you want kids, well, you better be keeping that same attitude with cis women who are infertile or...
No, I don't want to date a trans woman. I'm speaking as a man here. I don't want to date a trans woman because they're not a woman. I want to date somebody who's a biological female. And that doesn't have to do with the ability to reproduce, although that is going to be a subsequent problem if you date somebody who is a trans woman. It has to do with the fact that you're not a biological woman. Let's keep watching.
That's transphobia. If you don't want to date a trans woman because you're not attracted to trans women, I would absolutely love to know how you're able to identify correctly who is a trans woman on site 100% of the time, because that is just impressive. I wish I had that ability. I'd love to be able to have even more trans solidarity. And then
I'd love to have even more solidarity with trans people. Do I get my virtue points, mommy government, for that? I would love to be even more in solidarity with the trans community. Oh gosh, keep watching.
Also, just being super straight is the all lives matter of sexualities. It's not a real sexuality. It literally is just something that's made up to make fun of trans people and to hate on trans people. So, yes, super straights, I don't respect you and I don't respect that sexuality. Bye.
Imagine if you turned around and said this to him. I don't respect you and I don't respect your sexuality. Firebombed. Publicly hung. Canceled for saying that. But they can tell you that because you are a straight person who wants to date a man who wants to date biological real women, that you're a bigot and you're a transphobe.
All I know is the flow from the Progressive commercial sounds like she has a cold or did she get all her jabs?
Because
there might be a little Omicron going on.
I didn't know Flo was political. This is just amazing.
I don't know.
And it's not, again, it's not about fertility and being able to have a child. It's not about whether or not to the naked eye you can identify someone as trans or not. Because with the surgeries and the medical treatments that we're going through right now, it can be quite difficult in several cases. I've seen several trans women that look nothing like men whatsoever. It's not about the look to the naked eye. It's not about the ability to reproduce. It's your biology. You're not a woman. I'm so sorry to tell you. I'm so sorry that no matter what you do on the outside of your body, it does not make you a biological woman. And that tends to be the problem for people who identify as super straight, or as I would just say, straight. They're just straight. Men felt the need to create this super straight category and label it as super straight because of this extreme campaign from trans people and trans allies, if we want to call it that, to force dating on straight men and say that you should date a trans woman or you're transphobic. So they had to go and say, no, well, I'm super straight, which means I don't date trans women. No, you're just straight. You're just straight because a trans woman is not a biological woman. You are simply straight. Hashtag simply straight.
Simply straight.
You're simply straight. Hey,
in a world where this is out of Newsweek today, Jordan Peterson posted it, but nearly 40% of U.S. Gen Zs and 30% of young Christians identify as LGBTQ, according to a new poll. So that's the world we're living in today, where if you're simply straight, that is an act of violence. And meantime, this ideology has proliferated so much so that apparently we never knew how 30% of the United States population or the world population was secretly transgender for, tens of thousands of years. And now we've just in this last couple of years, 5 years, we've discovered that all these new magical pronouns and genders exist and divergent identities and all this stuff. We were just suppressing it all this time. There's not this massive new ideology that's just spreading and people are buying into causing that doesn't correspond to reality and that's causing them to have depression and suicide rates much higher than any other population group that we've seen.
Oh, don't put me on my rant again, Taylor. I'll do it again. I will do my transgender suicide rant again for everybody who's listening right now. And that's why, again, I was around when the super straight thing was created, and that was about a year ago on TikTok, because trans women were going around on straight men's posts and saying, well, how dare you say you don't want to date a trans woman? So you back people into a corner by saying that straightness allows for dating trans women, and then they go, well, okay, I got to make another category. Now I'm super straight. Can you back off of me? Can you stop attacking me? Because now I've identified as a sexuality. And it's so funny that the woke left gets the benefit of identifying as any sexuality they want. You can go to colleges now where it asks you to define what sexuality you are, and there's like 50 categories. But God forbid straight people go on and say, you know what, I'm super straight, which means I don't want to date somebody who's transgender. God forbid that happens, because suddenly you're being attacked. But we have demisexual, pansexual, gynosexual, asexual. It's just amazing the amount of leeway you get but nobody else gets.
Right. It's your options are blindly affirm, endorse, and support every single thing that we say and be an ally, or you're a bigot. Those are your options. if you're a, right. if you're a straight person. Yep. You don't get to have an identity at all that, you know, the default identity of just being a straight person, or the you know, the one that people, that the majority of people have historically had through all of history. Mm-hmm. That one, there's no room for that. So you either have to be this ally who upholds and defends and promotes all this ideology, or you're a bigot.
Yep. And yeah, no nuance for the people who want to understand transgender people, but see that the results that we're having are detrimental. No nuance for those people. And those people being me and Taylor, who say, okay, I understand it. You know what? I feel bad for you that you feel like you're born in the wrong body. Let's talk about that. And let's see what the right form of treatment is, because clearly the right form of treatment is not genital mutilation and chopping your breasts off. Clearly that's not having the outcomes that we've intended, because your suicide rates are higher than any other demographic in our population. So let's talk about other forms of treatment. No, absolutely not, you transphobe, because you don't affirm who I am. And in you not affirming who I am, you want me dead. The logic is astounding. Here's one more TikTok that has to do with transgenderism. Sort of, I guess it's a, I don't even know what you'd call it in this case. It's a subtext in this particular story.
So my boyfriend of 7 years and I broke up recently. He told me he was a trans woman named Riley O'Reilly, and I left John and tried to make it work with Riley, but sadly we had to end things so she could live her new life. The house felt so empty and I wanted to fill the void, but I felt like it was too soon to deal with humans, so I got a doll. And just her presence comforts me. Now Riley comes over, and we all hang out and watch TV, and Riley shoots us, and it's helping us heal.
Okay, first of all, just a logistics question here before I get into my actual... Why did you buy a female doll? Because I thought you were trying to replace John as male and not Riley, but you bought a female doll. Just a logistics question. Please clarify for me if you ever watch this, which you won't. But amazing. So many layers of what seems to be mental issues involved in this story. I just don't know where to start. Taylor. Oh, man. Taylor.
I'm like, I'm too old for this stuff or something. I can't, I literally don't know what to say. People are so confused. It's like you laugh to keep from crying.
Yeah.
Good Lord, like this is incredibly sad. It's absurd. It's outlandish, but it is really sad that you buy a female life-size doll to be your comfort, and then you're now transgender ex-boyfriend comes and takes pictures of you with the doll, and that's your path to healing?
Yeah, like, you know what? I feel bad for her. Imagine
you ever heard of therapy?
Yeah, therapy is probably the route that should be taken in this situation. Imagine dating somebody for 7 years, and then they're like, yo, girl, for our 7-year anniversary, I'm not proposing. I'm actually going to propose that I transition to be a woman.
Not just any woman, Riley O'Reilly.
Riley O'Reilly. O'Reilly's Auto Parts. Ow! Sorry,
we'll do it
guys.
Live. We'll do this transition live.
Do it live. Okay, I don't have any commentary other than just what the hell did my eyes just witness. Here's the last one. A warning for any young people watching right now. There is language in this one. So if you're watching this as a piece of family programming, just warning you, there's some curse words ahead. Here we go.
This woman today was giving me a lot of pushback on her mask policy at work, even though it was clearly outlined to her when she stated that she wanted to dine in with us versus taking it to go. We're a coffee shop. It's not like you're eating food. It's usually just like a couple bites or a sip. After like the third or fourth time that I asked her to please put her mask back on for the safety of the other people around her and our team, she was like, this just, it doesn't make sense. It's not sanitary. What if I get food down in there? I just don't even think people realize that service industry workers spend like anywhere from 6 to 12 and even 14 hours a day living in this mask. I have to eat all of my food and beverages that I eat in a day doing this. Like, You can do it for 30 minutes. 30 minutes to stop fucking. Oh my God.
Okay. Pause. This is some thinking that I've seen for quite some time. You can go on TikTok and find thousands of videos that express exactly this. So I work in retail or I work in food service and I wear my mask all day long, or I'm a flight attendant. I wear my mask for 14 hours. Why can't you get on the plane and wear it for 30 minutes? Totally get it. Anybody who is thinking reasonably, that might be their first reaction. Your problem shouldn't be with the people who don't want to wear the mask. Your problem should be with the people who are telling you that you have to for 8 hours a day. That's where your issue should lie. And it seems like we are functioning on the assumption here that wearing a mask is not fun. She seems pretty upset that she has to wear it for 8 to 12 hours a day when she's working. So why is your heat and your anger directed at the woman who wants to come into your shop without wearing one? You should go, hey girl, me too. But the powers that be tell me that I have to wear one every single day. Why is your qualm with her and not the people who are enforcing this on you? Simple question.
Yeah, it's the same thing that I've been saying all year on with the NFL during the NFL football season. They had all these restrictions for like the unvaccinated players, and they're not allowed to eat with the team. They have to stay in a separate hotel. They can't work out with the team. They had to do all the insane number of tests and all this stuff. And the question was never, and then certain people would be unvaccinated, and all the criticism of the media would be focused on the fact that these players aren't vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to miss X amount of time because they were exposed to something, whatever. And it's the criticism was never directed at the absurdity of the rules themselves. It was directed at the people who just exercise their freedom of choice.
Right. It's these are the people who are going to lead the way for you to not have to do that at work anymore. That's what people forget, is that when we fight for free speech or freedom of choice, we're fighting for your free speech and your freedom of choice too. It's not just us. We're not just trying to fight to sit in an echo chamber where we can all just talk about how great we are. We're fighting for you to be able to speak, for you to not have to wear your mask, for you to not have to get vaccinated if you don't want to. And that seems to be, there seems to be some dissonance there. People don't understand that. So again, and for all the people who are watching who work in retail or food service and have to do that, don't get mad at the people who come into your establishment or where you're working and don't want to do that, because you're probably in the same boat as them. So readjust where your anger is going and who your anger is directed towards, because it shouldn't be towards the people who want their own choices.
And do you honestly believe that it's safe enough for them to pull down their mask to take a sip?
Sure.
And then put it back up. But it's super dangerous if they pull down their mask, take a sip,
and then leave it.
Sit there, take another sip. I mean, we've all been in restaurants. I mean, I don't even know if it's, I know it's not like this in most red states where they don't even have mask mandates in restaurants. But in LA, you go to a restaurant, you have to performatively put on your mask while you stand at the door, you walk through, you sit down, and all of a sudden COVID's, now you're safe. That one gesture of putting the mask on while you walk through the restaurant in the air, if you're this high versus being this high, and that's the paragon of safety. And to put the focus on someone who's not replacing their mask in between bites, that's what's angering you, rather than the idiocy of these policies. We all know how dumb they are and these ideas, and you're already wearing your mask 12 hours a day. Well, how far does the government have to push you? And how what if they said 24 hours a day? What if they told you to sleep with it on? Would you be doing that? At what point would you be like, hey, maybe there's some nonsense at play here, and I'm not going to stand for it. I'm not going to mindlessly comply with it.
Yep. You have faith in something that is unsubstantiated, and you are literally engaging in a ritual for something that does not exist and does not help. That's what you're doing. There's a certain amount of religiosity to this and to what people are doing. They've adopted their own religion here when it comes to that. Putting on this mask that does absolutely nothing. It's been tried and true, proven time and time again that it does nothing. Yet you still do it, and you want to enforce it on other people, and you want to convince other people that that's what they should be doing too. It's ridiculous, and it needs to stop. And it's funny enough, CNN is saying it now 2 years later, but we'll see if other states start to follow suit, and they will, because it's beneficial to them now that they say, I'm going to let go of this narrative for right now, and then so they can exercise that power later. So ridiculous. So girl from this food place or gas station or wherever you work, redirect, aim higher, aim for somebody else, because you're aiming at the wrong lady here. And guys, that's been TikTok Tuesday. We covered a lot of stories today. We talked about Disney and them educating you on microaggressions. We talked about everything's going to be all white coming out of Showtime, which is just the most racist piece of propaganda that I've seen in a long time. We talked about CNN and lifting mask mandates, the Freedom Convoy in Canada, and GoFundMe's response to them, plus a woman identifying as a wolf and TikTok Tuesday. So it's been a fun stream. We're going to be back tomorrow at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern to discuss more stories with you all. Plus, we'll do a fun segment at the end of the show tomorrow. What that is, we don't know yet, but we'll figure it out for you guys.
Drop your suggestions in the comments below. Yeah. We do a lot of different fun segments. We rate things. We answer your questions. So if you have any suggestions for something you'd like to see, just put it in the comments.
Absolutely.
The Will and Omelin Live new channel.
Yes.
On YouTube, because that's where we'll pull it from.
Not on the old channel, which will be PragerU, but on Will and Omelin Live. Go subscribe there. Click the notification bell there. Leave your comment on what we should do tomorrow there, and we will look at your suggestions. Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll be back tomorrow. See you on the flip side. Bye, guys.